Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Everyone asks the same two questions: when is it over? And how do we get there? How do we start to make our way from here to there? When is it over? As I've said, you know, when is it finally over? It's over when you have a vaccine, and that's 12 months to 18 months.
All right, that's the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, and he talks about the questions that he gets asked constantly. It's the question that we want the answer to, but how do we find that answer? Nobody knows, of course, at this point. It's a lot of hurry and wait and pray and keep your fingers crossed and any kind of superstition you might have. What a way to kick off this hour. Hey, hey, everybody. Hope you're doing well. Whatever it is that you're doing, where you are, staying home, staying safe, doing the social distancing thing, debating about what's going on with reopening. And again, you can find me at katedelaneyradio.com. Any thoughts on anything that gets under your skin or something you're just thinking about, let it flow. Hit me up on contact, and you'll be part of our mailbag segment as I try to get to many of your thoughts on this show, because it is all about you. We look at the deaths in the United States, and of course, nearing that 48,000 mark of people who have died, but the confirmed cases and the recovered is the thing. Recovered in the U.S., over 77,000, thank goodness. And again, that is the good news. Confirmed cases, 852,703. At this point, there's conversation about certain places opening and others, like New York, which is why I started there, not even discussing the possibility of that until May 15th, because now that's been extended. So no chance of New York City saying, come see our Broadway plays, come hang out in our museums, and go grab a hot dog outside of Central Park. Who knows when that becomes a reality, because those two questions that Cuomo is asked, again, are the questions we all want the answer to, and we can't get the answer to them until we know more about vaccines, more specifics about the virus itself, which is mutating in different directions. You know, for example, now there's so much conversation about blood clots and the fact that, yes, blood clots can be part of this coronavirus, and it's led to the deaths of some people. There's even conversation about strokes in younger people. There's just so much that we don't know at this point. We do know that some of the brightest and the best, honestly, are working on advancing this at round the clock in trying to get that vaccine as soon as humanly possible to be able to cover us all, or cover off anyway, on what could certainly help and get us out of some of the dire situations that we're still in now. And this decision of opening, lifting restrictions, if it becomes a deadly error, that's going to land on somebody's feet. And President Trump doesn't want Georgia to land in his lap. So he was quick to say to today, that which would be Wednesday into Thursday, that he didn't agree with the Georgia Governor Brian Kemp to allow small businesses to reopen. He said he didn't think that was a wise decision, but the governor is going to do so anyway. They had a phone conversation. Then you have the Las Vegas mayor, Carolyn Goodman, who is really under fire for saying that casinos should reopen. And the state's largest union slamming the proposal as simply outrageous. Because imagine casinos being open and air being pumped through there, and who knows what that's carrying if somebody has COVID-19. I think Vegas would be one, and we know because we've had so many entertainers on this show and so many other people on from Las Vegas, our good pal Jackie Baskow, who books half of the entertainers, the big acts, all kinds of acts in Vegas. You know, nobody wants those people, and especially some of them are on the smaller end of the chain, to have the economy pump back up for them. But imagine the dangers of people going to live events or being in big venues like casinos. I saw an ad for a really well-known Indian casino that people frequent and like, and it's in Oklahoma, and they did a smart thing. They showed the casino and said, "We're here for you when it's safe for you to come back. We can't wait to welcome you back to what we have that we know is so special, and you like what we have here, blah, blah, blah." And this is the kind of stuff that we're starting to see brands that we deal with in our lives do. How many of you have checked with your insurer as to what you could possibly get as a discount? Because almost all of them are offering, are just giving you discounts on your auto insurance, since maybe we've got a car that's parked and we're hardly driving it. Or it's deemed to be in storage. Make sure you check on that, because if they haven't reached out to you, I can't even think off the top of my head any big insurer that is not doing that. That is not doing that. All right, so what else is shaken on the day of interest that would possibly buzz in your backyard? Certainly the price of oil and where that is rocking all over the decks has made gas a lean very cheap, but we're not driving a lot of places. But it is interesting when you pull up the pumps and you're staring down 170. The first time I saw that, I thought, that has to be, is this a mistake? Well, I know what's going on, but is this a mistake? And just not really thinking, well, of course, oil is going to take a cut because it's all about the supply. And so how does that right itself? That's already being worked on. But you'll see those low prices at the pump for a while. All right, how about this? I love this. In fact, we have our clapaholics that we bring on to the show, and they're coming on in our next segment. But I love the ingenious things that people are doing to lift up the healthcare workers in the U.S., working these crazy double shifts, seeing some really horrifically sad things. And while so many of us are sheltering at home, the president said that the military wants to raise the spirits of some people, and they're going to do flyovers from the Navy and Air Force demonstration team. So the Air Force has the Thunderbirds, of course, and the Navy has the Blue Angels, and they're going to do these flyovers in American cities, the high profile flyovers. So obviously New York is going to be one of them, and the idea is to pay tribute to the frontline healthcare workers that confront this COVID devil, and a signal to all of us to be vigilant during the outbreak. That's what the president is saying. I think it's a wonderful idea. If you've ever seen the Thunderbirds or the Blue Angels, I've seen them both many, many times. It will be neat to see them do that, and I think it's a great way to honor people that are exhausted, seeing, like I said, some horrible things, and are putting their lives on the line just to know that there's more support. They're getting food delivered, and people are reaching out in so many ways, and almost every single hospital I've checked on, there's nobody that is in a situation where they haven't had those food deliveries and gifted things and that kind of stuff to just do anything to help lift them up and help stay as strong as possible in this very, very difficult time. Her story coming up on the flip side.
Hand sanitizer is not an option. It's now a must-have. But where can you find it? Online at 2020safe.net. The highest quality hand sanitizer that destroys microorganisms and prevents transmission of pathogens. Now available in a 1-liter bottle with a bonus at 2020safe.net. When you order a 1-liter bottle of our high-quality hand sanitizer, you'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $14.95 value, free by using code GCN at checkout. 2020safe.net offers many natural products to help support health and help you live a more fulfilled life. life. From germ zapping hand sanitizer to immune building nutraceuticals to natural stress, anxiety, and sleep aids. 2020safe.net has what you need in stock today. Just click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high quality hand sanitizer with your bonus free 30 count bottle of immune booster. Remember to enter GCN at checkout and the bonus is yours free. Go now to 2020safe.net.
Oh, so you're wearing a mask every day now? Where are you getting them?
The same website where I get my neck and body wraps, sunnybay.com. And they're handmade.
Really?
Just like their wraps in the USA.
Oh, and good quality?
Oh, very good. These are disposable face masks.
And good price?
That's the best part. I get a 10-pack for only $6.
Wow.
Yes, as a public service, we're now sourcing disposable face masks with level 1 protection at sunnybay.com. Get a 10-pack of high-quality, more breathable face masks, only $6. Our face masks are hypoallergenic, latex-free, and made for stress-free all-day wearing. Or choose our N95 respirator masks, 2-pack for only $6. Supplies are limited, so place your order at sunny-bay.com, a biomed DV design company right here in the USA. Go to sunny-bay.com and purchase your disposable face masks online. 10 masks for only $6. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity and pursuing my dreams. I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Marshall joined the Dallas Mavericks as its CEO in 2018. Before leading the team in the C-suite, she worked for AT&T for more than three decades as a proponent of inclusion and diversity. Adweek named Marshall one of the 30 most powerful women in sports. I'm Kate Delaney, and that's her story. Yeah, so Cynthia Marshall made some headlines when she took over in that position for the Dallas Mavericks. The Dallas Mavericks, like other NBA teams, by the way, and something that she would ultimately be involved in, are figuring out, well, geez, when the NBA season comes back, if it does come back, or what happens if we bounce into next year. They're talking about possibly using thermal guns to test fans for coronavirus symptoms. This is something that's being talked about at airports, too, as well, before you get on planes. Because remember, it was only March 11th when the Utah Jazz center, Rudy Gobert, became the first player to test positive for COVID-19. And then there were others that tested positive for it. So a high temperature certainly is one of the telling signs of COVID-19. And think of the amount of people that you would have to test going into an arena. Logistically, it could be kind of nightmarish, but that's a stringent measure that is, I think, something that has to be considered if they're going to prevent the virus from resurfacing, because none of us want to see the devil pop back up again if it's knocked down, or certainly not in a case where you're at some sporting event or someplace where there are really, really giant crowds. You know what's great about what's happened? It's the human side of pulling people together during this pandemic, the sharing that's going on, the amazing things that neighbors are doing, strangers are doing for, you know, other people, and even some of these bigger companies, what they're figuring out that they can do. Disneyland is closed, but they're trying to figure out, well, how can we help people? So when they sat around and figured out and started to talk about it, they decided they're going to donate all the excess food from Disneyland and Disney California Adventure to Second Harvest Food Bank in Orange County, and they've been doing that. And that's obviously very, very big. They've been doing that since everything was shut down. The Nextdoor app connects people with other people in their neighborhoods. I've talked about this before. And then high-risk people are helped because people take turns. They see who needs help, and they donate masks or groceries or, you know, whatever it might be. And because I started with the NBA and her story, and, of course, Cynthia Marshall being a breakthrough woman and the NBA season being suspended for now, one of the things that is happening is the amount of money and time and other things that basketball teams that, of course, have some resources, professional basketball teams, are pledging and doing. And they're taking care of the people, the staff, that often need this money for their kids, for their families. It's a huge part of their income, and it's been disrupted because of the outbreak. So that's been well over a month. And even, you know, individual basketball players, if it's not the team, are doing the same thing. They're donating money to, you know, the staffs to make sure that everybody is covered. Like New Orleans Pelicans player Zion Williamson, who is incredible on the court, is paying the salaries of the Smoothie King Center employees for a month. He paid it. So he's, I think, finishing that up, and other people are taking the baton from him. I love that. I love that they're doing this, because these are the people who are so, so, so vulnerable. And pizza is a thing that's being sent all over the place. I mentioned this already. So, for example, the Seattle Times, the staffers were working nonstop to report, to get as much information, because remember, that's where so much was coming out of, especially in the beginning, about the coronavirus outbreak in the Pacific Northwest. There was a local reader that said, you know what, this is crazy, the hours that they're putting in. So they decided, I'm just going to flood them with pizzas. So they bought a bunch of pizzas and sent them to the weekend staff that were there. So our clapaholics, I think, are in the background at the mothership. I don't know if we had to give them pizza. Woo! Loud and proud, the clapaholics. That's for all of you. That's for all of you who are helping, and in many cases on those front lines, really risking your lives and doing what you have to do to help the rest of us, because it's such a need for you to want to do that. The giving nature of people is really coming out, and I love to see that. If you know of an inspirational story in your neck of the woods, please send it to me. Go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on contact, and tell me who it is and tell me their story, because we would like to reward them and gift them with a couple of cups of coffee, I call it. It's the ultimate coffee package, and we'll be giving those out. So let me know who those people are, and let me know what they've done, and we'll dig them up and find out more about the stories, the things that they've done. It's incredible to see this. You know, it's interesting, and sometimes it's the littlest thing, and it doesn't have to be about money. It's just some kind of kindness that somebody does for somebody else, because they know that they can't possibly do it because of the situation they're in, especially the most vulnerable people who have health conditions that it would be dangerous for them in some situations, and we think of grocery stores. But even beyond that, there are other things that can't be done. And one of the things that is so heartwarming to me as somebody who, you know, I grew up in a family where, I've said this a couple of times, my brother was allergic to dogs, so we never had a dog. But then we had Mahalo, who maybe 6 weeks ago we had to put down after a really great, fantastic life. But I've realized this whole dog world that now people are fostering pets. There's not a lot of pets that are out there on the street that have been abandoned. There probably is, but they're getting picked up. They're being taken to shelters. People are adopting them. And the numbers are so crazy, crazy high. And we did that. We decided we would foster to help the Golden Retriever rescue. And, of course, what did we do? We fell in love with the first one. So we officially today adopted a dog who's wonderful, and his name is Guinness. And they told me that there are like no dogs available because everybody's doing that. And we agreed, of course, to foster more and help in any way that we can. And I think it's so fabulous that people are doing that with all kinds of dogs, all kinds of animals, and we're seeing some amazing things happen across the board, humankind things, as I would say, and this we're all in it together is a feeling that I can really, really feel. And imagine, I love the idea of the flyover of the Thunderbirds and the Blue Angels. I said that I had the chance to see them when I was a kid. I can only remember the Blue Angels. It was at Cape May, New Jersey, and oh boy, just the pride that kind of just swells up in you when you see what they do and that the thundering trails behind them. It's going to be fantastic. This is something that, of course, happened in Las Vegas when the pilots flew over 18 hospitals and other medical facilities. They did that. You know, the team that was based at Nellis Air Force Base there on the outskirts of Las Vegas, and boy, did that make people feel good, and they had all kinds of pictures of that, and et cetera, that were posted all over the place. And if you ask the pilots, they gladly will do it. They're excited and happy to do anything to lift anyone's spirits, and especially those that are those health care workers, like I said, who are in those particularly vulnerable positions, but positions we need. Imagine getting sick and you don't have enough health care workers, and you're the person who needs to go to the hospital. And whether it doesn't end up being something incredibly serious, but it's something incredibly scary, you've got that health care worker or two or three or four that are helping you get through the system. Nothing like it. All right, hang with us. More coming your way. I'll meet you on the other side.
Give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
More states are preparing to lift coronavirus restrictions this week against the warnings of many public health experts. Colorado, Mississippi, Minnesota, Montana, and Tennessee are joining other states in what amounts to a science experiment. WCBS reporter Steve Burns says New York is still taking things slowly.
With numbers still headed in the right direction.
As long as we act prudently going forward, the worst should be over.
It's that prudent action that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is focusing on.
We're going to reopen in phases.
Phase one is low-risk construction and manufacturing.
Phase two would then be more a business-by-business analysis.
Cuomo's expecting businesses to develop plans.
How would you do your business in this new normal?
As for when these phases might start, Cuomo says it's still too early to tell.
This is USA Radio News. The Centers for Disease Control has now named some new official symptoms for COVID-19. With more on the story, here's USA Radio Network's John Hunt.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has added six new symptoms to the official list of possible signs for the coronavirus. Previously, the CDC only noted fever, cough, and shortness of breath as official symptoms. The agency has updated the list to include chills, repeated shaking with chills, muscle pain, headache, sore throat, and a new loss of taste or smell. Shortness of breath has also been changed to shortness of breath or difficulty breathing. A runny nose rarely occurs with COVID-19, and sneezing is still not a symptom of the virus. On the CDC website, it says people with COVID-19 have had a wide range of symptoms reported, ranging from mild symptoms to very severe illness. For USA Radio News, I'm John Hunt.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
In Author's Corner, I'm very thrilled to introduce you to Daniel Chapman. He's written a book called War Torn, and this book is honestly a can't-put-down read. As some of you know, I have that feature, Her Story, and his mother is perfect for Her Story. In fact, I'm going to feature her on one of my segments. And think Rosie the Riveter. Think of what it was like and what happened during World War II. And Daniel really pulled all this together and told this amazing tale of not only his mom, but just what it was like and what women did and what they went through during that time period. And honestly, it is it's a great read. It's an easy read because you want to keep following the story. So, Daniel, thank you so much for joining us.
It's really my pleasure. Thank you, Kate.
What, I didn't want to steal your thunder, so tell us why you wrote the book.
Why I wrote the book, it was primarily just to honor my mother. She and I have been very close, and we traveled a great deal together, and I had heard tidbits about her life, you know, just growing up. She'd share a little bit, very modest, humble woman, but later in her life, I had heard about the Rosie the Riveter convention in Richmond, California, and I surprised her one time to take her to that, and she was in her late 80s, and it was one of the very earliest ones. They were just getting it going, and she was just overwhelmed, and she was the belle of the ball. She loves attention, always has, but yeah, she was just enthralled with the attention that she was getting, and then the talk about the Rosie the Riveters. And it's a wonderful, wonderful convention. I've taken her back there several times. I did until her passing. And when we're there, they asked if she would please contribute to their little biop section about Rosie's Riveters. So my mother was macular degeneration. She couldn't see. And I said, Mom, don't you worry. I'm amateur of just getting writing. And I said, I would love to write it for you, Mom. So I did. And I entered that into it. They were so very grateful. And it went into their little section at the museum where people can read about the Rosies. And while I was doing that for her, I just decided, my goodness, she has a huge story to tell. And that's where it began. I just took me a couple of years, and I just pieced everything together, talked to all the people, family, friends, and put it together as a tribute to her and to that whole period of time, which was, it was generation, talking about her life and during the Depression years and then into the war and her contributions and all women that were involved in that Rosie movement is incredible. So it was to honor her and to honor all women.
And it certainly does that. There's no doubt about it. So tell us specifically about your mother's story. When did it start for her when she was foisted into this role? And what did she do? She was a welder, right?
Yes, that's right. They affectionately became known as Wendy the Welders, as part of the Rosie movement. And Rosie's grew to be really encompass all women that in the non-typical women's working places where they were doing jobs that sort of replaced the men who were off to war. And so anyway, that was all of the Rosies together.
Wow.
My mother became, she worked in a gas station when she was 16 years old. That was her very first job. But then she was with her older sister, who was actually of the family. She was the very first Rosie, but she pulled my mom along, and then they took off at a very, very young ages, and hitchhiked around the country looking for work and getting trained, and became trained as welders, and ended up working in the Vancouver plant in Vancouver, Washington. And she
wow.
learned to weld at the age of 17. She lied about her age and got in, and that's it. She started her welding career there, and then moved there on into Cleveland. And amazing experiences that she had as a welder. So I talk about them all in the book, of course.
Well, yes, you do. And so, again, we want to remind everybody, you can pick up the book War Torn. Just go on Amazon or any place where good books are sold. Daniel Chapman, that's who we're talking to. We're talking about his mom and her story and what it was like back then. And it's just so interesting to go back to those times and realize what she did. She just did it. You talked about her going to Vancouver with her sister and what that was like. But you had a great story, too, where she was – how she was getting there and what was happening besides hitchhiking. What was it that they did where they were jumping ships?
Oh, yeah, that was younger when she was 16. She was in a very dysfunctional family, a terrible, terrible father. Never accepted into the family. She was kicked out. Anyway, she was living with an aunt, and the aunt was very ill, and she was there taking care of her. And then with aunt's passing, my mother knew that her time was up and she was probably just going to be on the streets. So she talked to another sister, and that sister came over. The two of them hitchhiked up into Minnesota and to Duluth, as a matter of fact. And that's where they were going to school. Mom was trying to finish high school, and her sister was going to go to a teacher's college, and they were there and they were doing fine, but suspicions grew. Why were they there? Who were they were? And then the truant officers were coming in to arrest mom, and that, so they took off, ran off, and they went over to nearby port and waited and got befriended by some guy working there, and they jumped on a ship and rode it through the Great Lakes all the way to Cleveland. And that's where they got off the ship there,
wow,
met up with another sister, and then began the experiences for Rosie the Riveter career.
Wow. So growing up, did you have any idea that your mom was such a renegade, such a glass ceiling breaker, and was so a great risk taker that she had to figure out a way to survive, and she did, and she thrived with that?
Yeah. We heard little tidbits as we were growing up, these stories. You know, they were interesting, but you just didn't piece them together, and it honestly wasn't until I just sat her down and started asking all the detailed questions and piecing everything together about her life, and then writing it all together into the book. And fortunately, she lived long enough for the book to be published where I could read it back to her. And I mean, it's very hard. She cried a great.
Aww.
He's piecing everything together. My brothers and sisters have read the book, and they said it was very, very hard for them. They did not believe how difficult a time that she had growing up. So love the tears.
Yeah, love the tears, though. That's good, because, again, that grit that she had was incredible grit. And that the fact that you got to take her to the Rosie the Riveter convention, I'll call it, and what that moment was like for her. But also, what was that moment like for you when you saw all these women and what they did?
I was overwhelmed. It's a wonderful museum for anybody that wants to see and tribute the Rosie movement and their contribution, women.
Yeah, again, just absolutely amazing. These stories blow your mind, I think. And your mom's story, absolutely incredible. What do you hope people take away, Daniel, from reading your book?
Well, of course, Kate, the primary reason is I wrote the book. It was to honor my mother. I mean, she just had quite an amazing life, and I really appreciated it, and it was a tribute to her. Besides that, and just as importantly, is I wanted people to appreciate the contribution of women to American history, and particularly that period of time with the Rosie the Riveter movement and that, and just getting the country through the war, and their wonderful contributions.
Yeah, and we talked about the welding and what the welding was like and what it was like for her, and the fact that, you know, she worked among men as really a very young woman. And like I said, I would describe your mother, not having had the pleasure of meeting her, as somebody who had real grit. Would that be accurate?
Yes, it sure would. And I didn't know these details until later, really interviewing her in detail. I tried to do the same lifestyle myself for a number of years, and she was 18 years old, and she was supervising a whole crew.
That's crazy. Crazy cool.
So many jobs.
Yeah, crazy cool that she was able to do that. And then you saw what it was like and how difficult it is. I mean, welding is not a walk in the park, right?
No, it is not. It's a very dirty, dangerous job, and I couldn't handle it. But I went back to the classroom. But, yeah, she was really amazing.
All right, so
and my father, too. Yeah.
Yeah, your father, too. So, yeah. Again, you can get this book, War Torn, Daniel Chapman's book. You can pick it up on Amazon or wherever great books are sold. Daniel, thank you so much for sharing your story.
It's really been my pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Of a crisis.
crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity. In pursuing my dreams, I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live-underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug-out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement? You bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Attention, gardeners. If you need to grow nutritionally dense vegetables or medicinal herbs this year, listen, because a bioactive superfood for plants is now available. This all-natural superfood for plants is so effective at producing maximum plant growth in minimum time that it almost forces plants to grow, even under the worst light and soil conditions. It's called ProtoGrow, and it's truly remarkable. Vegetables grow faster and contain more bioavailable vitamins and trace minerals. Plants that rarely bloom will flower constantly. Sickly plants become vibrantly alive. Medicinal herbs become super potent. Flowers become more vivid right before your very eyes. ProtoGrow also improves the taste quality of all your garden vegetables. That's because it's more than just an all-natural superfood for plants. It's a proprietary blend of bioactive sea nutrients that contain the basic building blocks of life itself, which is why ProtoGrow even renews your garden by increasing the microorganisms in the soil. Learn more at growlikecrazy.com. That's growlikecrazy.com. Get special pricing for network listeners right now at growlikecrazy.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
Accompagname, ti permíteme, complacer tus deseos, todo en eternidad.
Wow, I just get goosebumps. It's so talented, unbelievable. Think about this. He moves to Vegas from Rochester, New York at 15. He starts singing at 16. Do you know he sings in 7 languages? People describe Daniel as a classic crossover singer-songwriter because he sings in different genres. So pop, rock, classical. I love it, and I'm so thrilled to have him on this show. Think America's Got Talent and beyond. Hey, Daniel, thanks for popping on.
Thank you so much for having me tonight, Kate.
So for you, you know, what, well, first of all, what's it like when you, like, you just heard that little clip there and it's being, I'm broadcasting all over the country. What's it like for you to hear that, to hear yourself? I mean, is it kind of surreal a little?
Oh, it's absolutely surreal. It's something that I don't know if you can ever get used to hearing yourself on the radio. I don't think you can ever get used to that. It's awesome.
I love that. So you knew. What was it that made you know inside that, you know what, I have to do this. This was what I was born to do. How'd you know?
You know, I would say there is a feeling that you get when you're on stage that just feels like home. It feels like it's the right place to be, and it feels safe. It feels safe, and it's amazing to connect with people emotionally on stage. there's not a lot of professions that can say that you can forge an emotional bond with hundreds of people within 3 minutes in the length of a song. And you get to take this emotional journey together that the first time I stepped on stage as myself, not as a character in a play, just as me singing, I felt that feeling immediately, and I knew this was what I wanted to do for the rest of my life.
Nice. So tell us about the America's Got Talent, you know, performance. Everybody, I think a lot of people listening know about it, frankly. But let's just say there's a few people that were hiding behind the rocks and they don't know. Tell us what happened there that really, I think, made you even more famous.
Okay. America's Got Talent was a roller coaster for me, for sure. It was an incredible opportunity, and it was full of high points, and it was full of some curveballs as well. So in my first episode, my very first audition in front of the celebrity judges, little old me is going out. I mustered up my courage to sing an original song in Italian in front of Simon Cowell, which is terrifying. And I got out there, and I was into my song. I was feeling it. And right in the middle of my number, Simon stops me. Not exactly how you want your first audition to go.
No.
But, see, I didn't know this in the moment, and I wish that I did, because it would have made that the moment a little less painful. But Simon didn't stop me in the middle of my song because he didn't like what I was singing necessarily. He, I guess, had another song in mind that he wanted to hear me sing. I guess he heard something in my voice that he really wanted to hear this other song. And this song was called Passera. And Simon said, okay, I'm going to give you 1 hour. You're going to go off stage and learn it. And then you're going to come back and sing it in front of me and all the people watching at home. And it was the most stressful hour of my entire life. I can guarantee you that. But through sheer determination, adrenaline, and caffeine, I was able to go away and learn this new song in Italian, come back and sing it. And I got a standing ovation from the judges. And it was the best moment of my life.
Ah, love it. So you catapult from there, where you end up on tour with Marie Osmond, who is like the nicest person on the planet Earth, right?
Yes, she is. She is a hero of mine, and it's an honor and a joy to get to be alongside her as we've traveled around the country.
What did she tell you about careers or singing? Did she give you any good pieces of advice? I can only imagine.
She has given me so much advice. It is, I don't say this lightly, it is a masterclass every time I get to be around her, whether on stage or behind the scenes. She is just the consummate professional and entertainer. She's amazing. I think the piece of advice that sticks out the most to me that she has passed on, when she and her brothers were young and performing in Las Vegas, they met Elvis from time to time, and Elvis gave them this advice that she has now passed on to me that I'll share with you now. Elvis told Marie that if he could go in his career and do anything over again one more time, it would be to thank each and every fan personally. And as I've been able to tour with Marie, I have seen that she has lived that advice every day, because her fans are the most incredible, most loyal human beings, because she treats them right. She treats them with respect, and she cares about them. And that's something I hope to do for my own fan base as it grows.
Wow, I love that. That is a good piece of advice. Who doesn't want raving fans? And especially in the entertainment industry, because they follow you all the way through. So I'm glad she told you that. You also got to perform the national anthem, like for Major League Baseball, a game there, probably a couple games, NHL, Rock and Roll, Marathon Series, heavyweight boxing. What was that feeling like? Because, you know, then you're talking about a different kind of animal. You're talking about sports crowds, and that could be kind of exciting. Plus, you get to sing the anthem.
Exactly. It is my favorite performance, but at the same time, it's the most difficult, I would say, at the same time, because the anthem is such a sacred song, and the fans in that crowd, that's something that you have to get right. There's no room for error. And when you get to perform a song like that, and, you know, sing the praises of our country in front of 20 to 50,000 people, and sometimes when it's broadcast around the country as well, that is just an immense moment. There's no better moment than that. And I've been lucky enough to perform for the home opener for the LA Angels. I was actually supposed to do the national anthem for the home opener that was scheduled for next week, and I'm so bummed that it's been postponed, but rightfully so. When we all can gather again together, hopefully we'll get to sing for another game this season for them. The national anthem is truly my favorite performances whenever I get to perform them, because it is just an incredible, unforgettable moment.
I love hearing that. So you're in Vegas. Vegas is dark. You were getting ready to do a big show and really pop out there even more, which I'm sure will come back to you. What's it been like for you during this period?
It's been a period of uncertainty, of course, for all of us. We all are. This is new territory. We are living history, and it is watching us. So it's just a very interesting time to be alive. But what is the benefit for? There's not a benefit to being in this situation ever. But what we can do for me, I'm able to take this time to really build my craft, hone, rehearse, make sure that when we come out the other side of this, because we will, then we're ready to hit the ground running, and I'm able to bring this an even greater level of show and performance to the audiences I'll have the honor of being in front of later on this year.
I love it. All right, so I have to ask you like a few goofball questions. What do you do? What kind of goofy things do you do? You're a young guy. Are you like into video games? Do you eat, I don't know, Cocoa Puffs? What do you do?
I wish, now I have time for things like video games, but I wasn't before. I'm pretty much married to music, but I do have my rescue dog, and I love to be out hiking and be out in nature when we can. Right now, of course, is a little more difficult, but I love to cook. That's the other thing. That's honestly what I'm spending 90% of my time doing now, and my waistline is showing it, and that's not good. But I love to cook everything under the sun, from Italian to Mexican, and my cooking skills are improving during this quarantine time. I will say that.
I love that. I understand. I'm right there with you. I was getting in good shape doing the hiking thing, too. And, you know, this is what happens to us. Daniel, what a pleasure to have you on the show. And I want everybody to go and definitely friend Daniel. Look him up if you haven't heard of him, which I can't believe. But go to DanielEmmett.com. And we're going to post this all over the place. So thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, my gosh. It's been my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on the show tonight, Kate.
All right. And we'll keep up with you. Thanks. Love it. Like I said, in fact, I'm going to let you hear a little bit more of Daniel as we kind of trail out here. But you heard Don't Want to Miss a Thing, Aerosmith, and that's his most requested song to actually perform since he appeared on AGT. And, boy, just he really does have, I think, an incredible amount of talent, and we've just seen the beginning of him, and obviously Maria Osmond knows that. How about Placido Domingo saying he's the future great entertainer? Woo! So check it out.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tejibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
In the middle of a crisis, now is the time to refocus, reimagine, and reinvent your life, not to retreat. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, I focus on overcoming adversity. In pursuing my dreams, I had a hard time being patient. Can you relate? I finally realized after interviewing 16,000 people and counting, some of the most accomplished on the planet, that it's the long game. I share their secrets in my book. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. I agree. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.